You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca. But the loss last night by the Colts punched the ticket for three teams in the AFC. They're probably going to make it anyway, but anytime, once you're confirmed, they can't take it away. You could lose the rest of the way in, but guess what? They are in, and there are a few teams now that are locked in the AFC. The Bills got put in for sure. The Chargers, the Jaguars, now they're locked in as well. The 49ers punched their ticket to the playoffs. Seahawks, 49ers, and the Rams, all from the NFC West, are going. They're all 11-4, 12-3. And Brian DiArdo from CBS Sports joins us to discuss it. And Brian, the 49ers last night, how much of that is their offense looked unreal, and how much of it was the Colts defense just isn't maybe that good?
Well, hey, Jason, always good to be on with you. And that, it's a good question. I think going into the game, I think that's kind of what they anticipated was. And again, they're facing Phillip Rivers, who at 44 is kind of a unicorn and a very unique matchup where they don't know what to expect, right? And I don't think anybody was expecting him to throw the ball as much as he did. That being said, I think that game, I'm not too concerned if I'm the 49er fan in terms of allowing that many points, 27 points. I mean, you got the pick six. So that kind of evens things out a little bit at the end of the game. Whenever they needed to make stops, they did. And I thought generally they did a good job against Jonathan Taylor, who many forget, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago before the losing streak of the Colts was considered as an MVP candidate along with Matt Stafford and Drake May. So, no, I think, you know, the offensive success, as you alluded to, I think that's more on the Niners. You know, I think, you know, Juwan Jennings has really stepped up and evolved. Brock Purdy's continued to play well coming back from the injury, and McCaffrey, you know, made the Pro Bowl this year, and it's getting hard for running backs to make it. I mean, Derrick Henry didn't make it, Saquon Barkley didn't make it.
Yep.
He's, you know, a great, great player. So, no, in my opinion, watching last night's game, nothing to be concerned about if you're a 49er fan.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, not at all. They looked really good. And I will say, man, I thought for a guy who hasn't played in 5 years, Phillip Rivers looked not bad yesterday.
No, it's honestly a little shocking how good he is. And I will say, it seemed like yesterday and I'm not knocking it at all, he was very conservative in the first game. And I think the game plan for last night was to open it up. But I thought on his pick six, for example, he would have been better served checking down Jonathan Taylor. So, but that being said, they're not going to make the playoffs or have a chance if he's playing safe. No, 23 of 35 for almost 300 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Most starting quarterbacks will take that stat line any day of the week.
Looking at the, you know, there are a few questions leading in. The Panthers, they got a huge win this past weekend. Now they kind of control their own destiny against the Buccaneers. You know, the Bucs have just, like, man, the first 5 weeks of the season, people were like, oh, look at Baker Mayfield. He's been unreal. What's happened?
Well, I think all their injuries have started to catch up. You know, they've got guys playing different positions on the offensive line. You know, the running backs, they've been dealing with injuries there throughout the season. It seems like, it's funny, when Bucky Irvin came back, I think a lot of people expected that to kind of like spearhead the offense. It's actually been the opposite. They've had more success with Rashad White for whatever reason. And when I thought Evans and Godwin came back, they'd really take off. So it might just be getting back into rhythm. And we saw that with the Steelers this year. All the new pieces on both sides of the ball. It took them, you know, 13 weeks to start to find their rhythm. So I think that's what it is with Tampa Bay. And you know, call me naive, but I still think they're going to win this division. They've got a much easier Week 17 opponent than Carolina. Okay. And they face each other head-to-head. I still think Baker is and Bryce Young's great. No knock on him at all. He's played great this year, but I still like Baker Mayfield that matchup. Okay. And I think Baker's playing banged up, for sure. We've seen a drastic difference in his play when he's healthy versus not. I don't think he's right. All that being said, I still think Tampa Bay is going to find a way to win this division.
All right. What about the NFC West? Because the Seahawks and the 49ers have a game head-to-head. Seahawks are 12-3, 49ers and Rams are 11-4. And they're all good, but I'd still probably rank the Seahawks third just because I don't trust Darnold in the playoffs.
Here's the thing. I agree with you, but are we wrong? Are we going to be way too late to the party? But I'm totally with you. I think going into last week's game that they won unfathomably, they were second in the league in points scored and points allowed. And Sam Darnold just made the Pro Bowl over several quarterbacks, including Jared Goff. So, yeah, I mean, it's odd because, like you, I think they're the third best team in that division, quite frankly, because I don't really trust, Sam Darnold. But they continue to win games. They continue to win games in miraculous fashion. I will say this, they might not be the best team, but I am sold. They're the most complete team in that division. And getting Rashid Shaheed during the trade deadline, who also made the Pro Bowl, had a touchdown during that comeback last week. You know, the running game doesn't knock your socks off, but it's deep with Charbonnet, as a very strong backup and red zone threat. So I don't know. Maybe I'm starting to convince myself live here on the radio with you that they are better than third. Because again, the stats continue to show it. I could twist my arm into saying they're better than San Francisco. They're still not the best team in that division. Even though they just fired their special teams coordinator, I think the Rams are still the best team. People forget that they didn't play without – they did not have Devontae Adams when they lost last week. I think if he's back and they're at full strength, they're still the best team in that division. Then we can argue about who's second between the Niners and the Seahawks.
Brian Diardo from CBS Sports joins us. Brian, it was a crazy finish to the Lions-Steelers game. And the Steelers end up winning that game. The Lions now, they need to win out, and Green Bay basically has to lose out to get in. But Green Bay, with no Jordan Love, you wonder now. I don't know for sure if he's going to play or not, but they've got Baltimore, who still has a chance to make the playoffs, so they'll be desperate. Meanwhile, Detroit's in Minnesota. Minnesota just lost their quarterback. You know, this looks like a game where, the Lions, my goodness, they have to win that game. But what do you make of the Lions and the Packers, and who do you like to get in?
Well, real quick, if I may, the funny thing is, too, if the Ravens lose on Saturday night, it makes the Steelers' last two games meaningless.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which makes the DK suspension kind of moot. He's going to lose money. It still stinks for him. For the team, it's not that big of a deal. But it makes you wonder, are they going to rest for two straight weeks? And Mike Tomlin didn't even know until this morning that the Ravens, that game was Saturday night, and that their fate already may be sealed Saturday night. So that's kind of another interesting subplot. So between the Lions and the Packers, I still think Green Bay is the better team. The Lions' defense is pulverized. They've had way too many injuries. They haven't been able to stop a cold the last couple of years. Even last year with Aaron Glenn there. I mean, I know a lot of people are making a big deal about losing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. The Ben Johnson loss, as we can all see, has obviously affected the team's flow on offense. Defensively, they were bad last year. They've been bad for a couple of years on defense. So this is a recurring issue that Dan Johnson has to fix. Now, when you look at Dan Campbell, rather, when you look at the Packers, they were my Super Bowl pick when they got Micah Parsons. Obviously, Parsons being out really hurts them, but they've still played really hard the last couple of weeks. I think Jordan Love's a gamer. I do think he's going to play this weekend. And the other issue, too, with them is Josh Jacobs has been banged up as well. So they're not just – and Romeo Doubs. So both teams are dealing with a lot of injuries. I think – Green Bay is the better team, though, and I think that they are going to scrape out a playoff berth. But if they don't, Matt LaFleur's job, which was already getting scrutinized after their 5-3-1 start, I do think his name is going to, I don't think anything's going to happen to him, but I do think that fans are going to call for his head if they don't make the postseason.
Well, Dan, interesting on Dan Campbell. A lot of people are like, man, was it his coordinators who made Detroit that good? Because, he's ultra aggressive. There's no question about it. And when you're aggressive, it doesn't work. Everyone wants, he's too aggressive. Where did it come out on Campbell's decisions a lot of times on fourth down this year?
I think he's ahead of the curve because now teams are going for it all the time on fourth down. I mean, the Steelers went for it three times the previous week. They went for it again on Sunday. I think he was ahead of the curve. My questioning sometimes is the flow of the offense because, as we all know now, he's taken a much heavier role in the play calling. Some say he is now the new play caller. The game against the Steelers, going into that game, the Steelers have been spotty this year against the run, specifically against really good running backs. And we all know that Detroit had Jameer Gibbs, who made the Pro Bowl, Dave Montgomery, who's kind of their hammer. They ran the ball 12 times for 15 yards in the second half, one rushing attempt. They became, and some of that's because of the fact they were losing and behind. They needed to throw to get back in the game. But they were so one-dimensional. I mean, if you're the Steelers, made it very easy to play against. Also, they got in rhythm in that game when they started to go up-tempo, no huddle, because that made it less hard for their injury-depleted offensive line, and it also negated the Steelers' pass rush. The question is, if they had a more savvy play caller, do they go to that earlier? So, you know, I think that Campbell's taking some unnecessary heat, because I think the injuries, Jason, is the biggest reason why they're in this predicament. They've had more injuries than most teams deal with in 2 years, let alone 1 year.
Yep.
But he clearly needs to change the play calling or improve the play calling going into 2026.
The Miami Dolphins looked absolutely awful without Tua as their quarterback. And hey, that guy is not without some concern, but he's clearly better than what they had. What do you make of the whole Tua situation? Do you go back to him quickly and say, hey, you know what, maybe we made a mistake? Or do they got to stick with this and be like, I guess he's not going to start the rest of the year?
He's done, unless they pull an Eli Manning, during that situation and yanked him back in. But he's not Eli Manning. He doesn't have that cachet, right, of a borderline Hall of Famer, two Super Bowls, all that stuff. They've given up on him. And I think once they got to six wins and they had that little winning streak, I think that obviously compelled Mike McDaniel to feel much, much better about his job security going into next year. And once they were eliminated, he had decided, okay, now we're going to pull the plug on Tua. We can start afresh. Jason, this is my just speculation,
okay.
Reckless maybe.
Okay.
I think that obviously his on-field play has not been totally up to snuff of a Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, other guys in his draft class. However, I think it's more off-the-field stuff, or maybe combining with off-the-field stuff with the on-field play that led to this. He got a lot of criticism after the loss to Pittsburgh that knocked him out of the playoffs for laughing with Jalen Ramsey, his former teammate, after the game. You would think when you just got knocked out of the playoffs, you wouldn't be kind of joking around like that. So I think that – and he also kind of aired some dirty laundry about the team earlier this season that he had to publicly apologize for. So I don't even know if it's as much on the field as more off the field might be mirroring or convince McDaniel that, hey, this isn't the right thing. We need to go in a different direction.
If I had to ask you today, who would you pick as your Super Bowl winner and why?
Oh my gosh. I should know that. This should be easy. Seattle, I'm kidding. After everything we just went through. Let's go. I'm going to go with the Rams. Because they're the team that, at this point, is the healthiest.
Okay.
They have maybe the best quarterback this year, Matthew Stafford. They've got the best receiving duo in the league in Nacua and Adams. And they have a defense that's very, very, very tough. And, you know, I think they're going to learn from that loss to the Seattle. As we all know in sports, you know, sometimes losses like that are good, right? It helps refine things or – you know, a lot of wins sometimes mask deficiencies. Well, that game kind of exploited some of their weaknesses. So if you had to twist my arm right now, I would pick them over, let's go with Buffalo. I think Buffalo, even though – and the AFC's wide open. I think the NFC, maybe only a couple of teams can go. I think it's wide open in the AFC. But I would say right now Buffalo with the Rams winning.
Buffalo and the Rams. Ooh, all right. Okay. Well, Brian, thanks so much for always helping us out throughout the year. We really appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you in 2026. Have a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll talk to you again soon.
That sounds great. Thanks, Jason.